And starting out this week's Not Necessarily Nashville with Johnny Cash, one from the American Four album, The Man Comes Around. I'm Michael Hiplin, sitting in this week for Flap Jones. And we're going to open up this first hour with Kevin Cressy. He is the sculptor who was chosen recently to design the Johnny Cash statue that will eventually be on display in the U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall, along with Daisy Bates. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks so much for the invitation, Michael. I'm thrilled to be here. Anytime I get to talk about the man, I'll be there in a second.
Yeah. Tell me how you came to do this. This has been a process ongoing for a couple of years. The legislature, what seemed like a long shot idea, eventually decided to replace Arkansas's two statues there in Washington and approved Daisy Bates, the civil rights icon here in Little Rock, and Johnny Cash, just the immeasurable musical pioneer.
And I think what's interesting as well is the fact that I really see it as the legislature voting in two social activists to represent Arkansas, which I thought was really a beautiful statement. So, I mean, everyone knows Johnny's musical legacy, but he was so much more. And that's really what I was trying to focus on in the sculpture.
Yeah, I watched the presentation when it was streamed. You and the finalists for the Cash statue presenting the mock-up statues. And it was a very moving presentation there on June 9th. Maybe first, why don't you describe the statue visually for people who maybe haven't seen the picture?
Well, let me start by saying, yeah, this has been going on for 2 years. So my original poses that I was starting off depicted more of a public Johnny Cash. And the longer I kept working on it, and the more books I read, and the more DVDs I watched and everything, the more I really started moving towards more of a self-reflective interior Johnny. So this pose, his weight is on his back foot. He's looking down, and he's in thought. I've got his Bible in his right hand, but it's sort of tucked away. It's not that incredibly noticeable. And then I said I like the idea that his guitar is on his back. So the guitar strap really kind of starts from the Bible, which is the faith, which is something that, you know, he was in deep, dark places, and that's what he always went to his whole life. And as it goes up through his left hand, that's over his chest. And I said, that's, you know, where the soul of everything came from the poet and the musician, to the back on where the guitar is, which I saw as a like a backpack that took him all over the world. So that's it in shorthand.
Yeah. I know that the family of Daisy Bates and Johnny Cash were both involved in this, and Roseanne Cash, I'd spoken to her back 2 years ago after the bill signing ceremony when the governor signed this into law, and the Cash family has totally gotten on board with this, as well as the restoration of his boyhood home years earlier up in Dias. Really is, I'm proud of what Arkansas has done by embracing Johnny Cash. Some view him as kind of a dark character, but the family seems to really appreciate how Arkansas has taken this in.
Yeah, and like I said, Johnny is, some people want to pick out one part of him to define him as, and he was so much, and I think that's why his broad appeal. We were talking to a friend about, you know, how the gospel community claims him as his own. I mean, he was wanting to do gospel music back at when he was at Sun Records. You know, obviously the Country Music Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I said, if there was a punk Hall of Fame, he would be the first one in the punk Hall of Fame. I really kind of think he had the first punk band. So
yeah. Was the family, did they give guidance did they make suggestions about how they would like this statue to look?
Well, interesting. Yes, a couple little things. And fortunately for me, like I said, I had worked on an earlier, younger version of Johnny on my own before the DC project even came up. But when I was thinking about this one, I was kind of thinking, yeah, it'll probably be more of the TV show Johnny, where he kind of had more of this mass appeal and everyone was seeing at that time. So I was kind of thinking that kind of early 70s when I was thinking about the DC project early on. And then later the family said that that was the time frame they were looking at. So I thought, okay, great, I'm on that one. And then I had all three finalists, we had a meeting with the search committee. I can't remember, a couple months ago. And it was really like the night or two before. I'd been working on this pose, and I had the Bible in the one hand, and the other hand I just wasn't sure what to do with. And I found this picture where that hand was through the guitar strap on his chest. And then at that meeting, the Cash family had sent that photo, and I went, oh, wow, okay. Yeah. So I was really just a day or two ahead of seeing them say that they kind of like that.
Yeah. Why don't we do one from that era of Johnny Cash? How about What Is Truth?
It's like the first cousin to The Man in Black. I think he was really kind of describing his values in that one, and it's a great one.
There's the great Tricky Dick documentary.
Yeah.
President Nixon calls him to play before him and wants him to play Welfare Cadillac or...
Yeah, Nogi from Muskogee, I think, something.
One of those anthems.
Right. That Nixon was wanting him to, play nicely and, play the part that he wanted him to play. And Johnny demurred and just said, I don't think we know that one. And then writes What Is Truth and plays that. I was just like, boom, beautiful. Yeah.
This is Not Necessarily Nashville on KUAR 89.1.
The old man turned off the radio, said, where did all of the old songs go? And the lonely voice of youth cried, what is truth?
Johnny Cash, What Is Truth? This is Not Necessarily Nashville on KUAR 89.1. I'm Michael Heplin, in for Flap this week, and joining me here in the studio, it's Kevin Cressy, the man chosen to create a statue of Johnny Cash to go on display in the U.S. Capitol. Has that really sunk into you?
Just listening to you say that just now, I was kind of looking around going, now who? And I was like, oh my. Yeah, it's still sinking in.
Yeah. So you've made a smaller bust. What's the, where are you right now in the process? You were selected officially a few weeks ago. So where are you actually in the process of making this?
So I have a 3 feet tall full figure version at the house. And then I have a life and a quarter bust, which is in a sense is a blown up version of the head of the 3 foot full figure. So right now, I think there's just some tweaking I want to do on the figure. After I keep living with it and looking at it, you keep seeing things that kind of bug you. Nothing huge. And then I'm just going to take 360 photos and do the same with the bust and then make sure that the Cash family gets those and sees them. And if there's any changes or anything that they see they want me to work on, then I'll do that. And then the next step would be to take it to the foundry and have it enlarged.
Have you talked directly with Johnny's siblings or Roseanne?
Since I've received the commission, the only one I've talked with is Tara, who's actually, we're born 2 days apart, so we're the same age. And evidently the family's was really, really pleased. So that made me feel great.
Oh, that is great. Tell me about what you... During this, when it was down to you and two other sculptors, and you were doing this presentation, looked like a big group of people, maybe 36 people or so with the two commissions there at the Capitol. But you kind of told the story of what you wanted to envision here or what inspired you? And you talked in particular about his childhood up in Dias.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the other two artists talked about because I haven't seen their presentations, but I was really wanting to talk about his motivating factors in his life. And I think obviously the big one was when he lost his hero brother, Jack, in that awful sawmill accident. And then his father really, you know, never...
saying that should have been you.
You instead of instead of him. And that's like I said, I mean, there's no way to get over something like that. Yeah. And so I think he was always trying to prove himself to his father as well. And so, like I said, all these are little things that, as an artist, I'm keeping that in mind. And so when he has his self-reflective look, it's all in the face. And so these are really subtle things. Once you kind of get the anatomy down that you say, okay, somebody can look at it and say, that's Johnny Cash, then you're going down to the next step and trying to get that soul in it. And these are the huge parts that are in there that need to be in there, I think.
And before the show started, we were talking about how this is, you were planning to make a statue of Johnny Cash long before the legislature actually decided to change the two statues that represent the state up in Washington. Talk about the, you know, you and Arkansas musicians.
So this all started 4 or 5 years ago when I received the commission to do the bust of Lee Von Helm for his childhood home in Marvel. And, of course, he's from the suburb of Marvel in Turkey Scratch, but that's where his home is.
Yeah.
So when I did that and I was talking to the people in Marvel, and they said at this point his home wasn't open for visitors yet, and they would find people from New Zealand, Japan, all over Europe on his porch. They had come to Marvel just to see where he grew up. And it really hit me as I started thinking about the incredible A-list of talent that Arkansas, especially the Delta area. You had Johnny Cash, Al Green, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Louis Jordan, Charlie Rich, Conway Twitty, Big Bill Brinks. It goes on and on and on. You have Glenn Campbell over in Delight. So anyway, I thought, I'm a frustrated musician. I'm a songwriter and everything. So it's a real passion of mine. So I just started on my own creating the bust of these people with the idea of hopefully finding funding and getting them to the hometowns of the different musicians. So yeah, I had started on Johnny probably, I don't know, 4 years ago, I guess, or something like that, doing a younger version of Johnny for the hometown in mind of Dice.
Yeah, I think Stephen Cook, of host of Arkansongs, wrote at the beginning of his book on Louis Jordan that right. He, as a kid, would wonder, well, where's the statue? And there is no statue.
No, and in so many of these little towns, there's no markers, there's no indication. I was taking my son to Tennessee a summer or two ago and was in Forest City, and I can't remember what he had forgotten. And so we pulled into the Walmart there. And all the people that were helping me were wonderful. And I said, who's the most famous person from Forest City? And I said, Al Green. And they said, no, he's not from here. And they even went and got the manager who was, I mean, these weren't 18-year-olds. They were in their 30s, and they got the manager who was around 50, and he said, no, that's not right. And I was like, oh, man, we have a big problem here.
He's in Memphis.
Yeah.
you're right, though. That's it's amazing that there are people who don't know those kinds of things. He's incredible, legendary performers.
Incredible, yeah. And the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about the, you've got the Bible there, Johnny Cash holding. So thought we'd do one here from the gospel recordings that he made. This was from the Unearthed box set, the recordings that he made with Rick Rubin in the 1990s. And how about I Shall Not Be Moved?
Perfect.
This is Johnny Cash. You're listening to Not Necessarily Nashville on KUAR 89.1.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved, and I still miss someone.
Yeah, three from Johnny Cash there, including two from his Live at San Quentin album. That's I Still Miss Someone and Big River. I'm Michael Heplin. It's Not Necessarily Nashville on KUAR 89.1. Joining me in the studio tonight, Kevin Cressy. The sculptor will be making the statue of Johnny Cash that will eventually go into Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol, along with Daisy Bates, civil rights pioneer, mentor to the Little Rock Nine. You mentioned during your presentation a few weeks ago at the Capitol the impact to you of him doing these shows in prisons, but also behind the scenes without recognition or without doing it publicly, the activism that he did there, paying to build chapels, things like that.
Right, right. That he had donated money to both Tucker and to Cummins to build chapels. And the point I was making then, too, was that, you know, obviously this was before social media, so he wasn't taking selfies and, you know, hashtag Johnny Do-Gooder, you know, or, you know, here I am hanging out with the Native Americans on the reservation doing this work there. These were things that were just in his core and that he believed in, and he just did quietly.
Yeah, it really was amazing. And doing, yeah, while that was playing, I was mentioning, I just can't imagine trying to hold the attention and perform in a prison. And yet he has such a,
he pulls it off, didn't he?
He's got the presence.
Yes, he does.
To do it. And the Native American work, too, you know, at a time when the Native Americans really weren't getting that much respect, he kind of put himself on the line with that, not to quote his song, but he really did stick his neck out.
Oh, and that's one thing that hit me when I was going back and I was looking, because I was, his album Bitter Tears, that he was, the whole thing was focused around the Native Americans, that whole album. And I realized that was put out in 1964. And that's probably the time when stereotypes about Native Americans were rampant, you know, in our culture. And then I was realized, too, you know, the great Arkansas author Dee Brown, his seminal book, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, came out in 1970, which really kind of started to shift ideas and opinions about Native Americans. But he had put that album out 6 years previous to that.
You mentioned that you have gone around Statuary Hall and you looked at the different statues on display there. What did you think about what you saw?
Well, I mean, there's the quality of the work is beautiful, but obviously you're running into a lot of Confederate people. I mean, there's some problematic people that are being heralded in the halls of our capital. So that's why I was happy to see that so many states are moving now to change theirs out. And like I said, I'm just really proud that Arkansas is putting two social activists to represent Arkansas in.
Want to play one from the Bitter Tears album?
Let's do it. Go.
From the Indian Reservation, I'm like a soldier getting over the war.
Johnny Cash, from the American Recordings album he did with Rick Rubin in 1994, really amazing. The fact that Johnny Cash had a final blast in his career thanks to Rick Rubin and his production.
Yeah, and he was still writing and still putting out just beautiful work. It was his tap was still on and flowing. It's real inspiration to me.
Yeah, that was Like a Soldier. I'm Michael Heplin, sitting in for Flap this week. She'll be back next week. It's Not Necessarily Nashville. Kevin Cressy is sitting in the studio with me. We're just picking a few songs here. Kevin, as I said earlier in the show, is the sculptor who was chosen by the state to make the statue of Johnny Cash that will be on display in Statuary Hall. We were talking during the song there just about how you kind of have listened to Johnny Cash, especially there in his later years. Tell me about that, really. I've gone through it myself, but I mean, we all take in art in different ways. But for you listening to him, you know, especially toward the end of his life.
Yeah, the thing about that was consistent with Johnny throughout his whole career, I believe was just the honest, straightforward way that he put things out. And then towards the end, when his health was failing, and you can really hear it in his voice that he's still giving it everything he has, it adds even, I think, an extra depth of emotion to his work that to me just gets me to my core. It's just, I think that's the epitome of what art is and what how it can affect someone is all right there in those albums.
And the documentaries, you know, about especially the low points of his career, when not only was he not selling albums, but he one documentary talked about how he couldn't even really fill up a city park. And, you know, just I think he appreciated the fact that he was being appreciated as an artist toward the end and really wanted to give it everything he could.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing we were talking earlier, was that, you know, in his probably mid-50s, he was still out there plugging. He was still doing it, even though maybe the people weren't showing up. He was still delivering, not knowing that right around the corner, some of his most powerful and his most emotional work was ahead of him. And like I said, as someone in their late 50s as an artist, that's incredibly inspiring to me.
Have people reached out to you since either, you know, you were in the finalists to make the statue, or since being selected? What's been the response for you?
It's been overwhelming. I'm not a huge social media person. In fact, when I was first chosen as one of the three finalists, I didn't even post anything about it, just because I just wanted to kind of quietly get to work. And so the night before the presentations, I just kind of put out a thing saying, hey, I'm doing this thing tomorrow, and it'll be streamed if you care to watch it. And the response from that was just took me by surprise. And it really was so comforting as I went in to know that so many people were, you know, cheering for me. So, and then quickly putting something together that afternoon after I'd won the commission, the response from, you know, all the people around Arkansas was just tremendous. But then, you know, around the world, I think before, my biggest post is something as far as people sharing the post was maybe, 20 or 30 or something. Mm-hmm. And this one, I think, is, I don't know, I haven't checked lately, but I think it's getting close to 800 shares. Uh-huh. And that's, I can't even really quite fathom how that extrapolates out, you know.
But you were the only Arkansas artist to make it
to
into
the
finals.
Yes. Uh-huh. And that was, I'm not going to lie, that I felt quite a bit of a responsibility to kind of represent Arkansas well, and to say, you know, there's world-class art that's produced here. I know so many incredible artists, visual artists as well as musicians and other art forms. But it was my chance to say, I gotta show up, yeah, and prove that we can do it.
Well, watching that live online, my favorite part was after your presentation, then seeing like Shane Broadway, head of mm-hmm. one of the committees there, kind of go up there and look under it, and just the expressions as they took it in. It just was priceless to see that. And
well, it's all been great. And like I said, just hearing you introduce me and saying that the work is going to be, I could just sit here all night and listen to that introduction over and over again. Yeah, that it is real. It's happening.
Any final song you want to play here from Johnny Cash?
Man, you see, putting the pressure on me.
Got the stack of CDs and the Apple Music up. We were talking too about just the different periods of his life. He has so many different careers. You listen to the Sun records, you listen to the Columbia records.
Right, right. Well, and so I think, you know, like I said, I found so much inspiration while I was working on him, while I was talking to him and with him, you know, as I was working on the sculpture, that I found so much inspiration from those later records. So why don't we go to the very first song that he wrote and put out? Hey Porter, do you have that?
Oh, that's right up here. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Let's do it.
Where it all started.
I love the train songs.
Yeah, how can you talk about Johnny and not throw in a train song?
Hey Porter, would you tell me the time?
Johnny Cash recorded live at San Quentin. That's just one of the many incredible classic recordings. Kevin Cressy, it's been great having you up here with me.
It's been pure delight for me. Thanks so much for having me, Michael. I really do appreciate it.
How soon can we expect to, is there a timeline for when this statue will be completed? And what's the next step in this process?
Well, the only timeline really is that I know that Governor Hutchison wants it installed before he leaves the office. So that's really the end of 22. And so that won't be a problem for me.
Have you talked much with him about this? Did you meet with him?
No, he wasn't there the day we were doing the presentations, or at least I didn't see him. But he's always been super nice to me and supportive, both he and his wife. So I think I'm looking forward to talking to him about it and showing what I've got going on and keeping him abreast of what's happening. But we were mainly dealing with the Secretary of State's office.
It's been interesting, you know, seeing him too during when he had Roseanne Cash in the governor's mansion doing a fundraiser back, I think, 2015 or 16 for the House in Dias. He's a Johnny Cash fan, which it's just funny when it's the governor, former head of the Drug Enforcement Administration and Homeland Security. And, you know, but Johnny Cash connects with so many people in so many different ways that he's truly unique in that way.
Yeah, he definitely spans the demographics, that's for sure. That's why, it's incredible how many different people love him.
Well, that's, again, Kevin Cressy, who will be making the statue of Johnny Cash for the U.S. Capitol. I'm Michael Hiplin. You're listening to Not Necessarily Nashville. Maybe I'll take us out with, I was thinking I would play some from the Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson Unplugged album from maybe 25 years ago, hearing the two of them just sitting together playing. So thanks again, Kevin, for coming by.
Thanks so much, Michael.
This is KUAR 89.1.